This time in our worship service, we read from the Word of God. We do that from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the last verses of the previous chapter, he spoke in verse 16 of our outward man perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And then he makes the familiar comparison. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's glory coming, even though the outward man perish. And then he explains, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And remember how he started that. We look at not the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And in the next chapter that we're going to read, look at verse 7. Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, this tabernacle, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, and literally, I should have said this earlier, that's a tent. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the self, same thing, is God, who hath given unto us the earnest, the promise ring, of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror, the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Dead to sin, that's the idea. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So far we read from God's holy word. It's in that first portion of this chapter, and we're going to refer to different parts of it as we go through the sermon, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That on which we treat this morning is the 57th question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, the first one in Lord's Day 22. This last the second to the last article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Faith, saving faith, holds for truth what God has revealed about the resurrection of our bodies. As those who are in Christ, there's a resurrection unto eternal life that's promised us. That's why the last words of verse chapter 4, the things which are not seen are eternal. And then he speaks of the resurrection of the body as an explanation of that. So we have reason to believe that these bodies, which in 1 Corinthians are called the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we shall in these bodies see Christ. That was Job's knowledgeable hope already. Living at about the same time as Abraham, so early in revealed history, but had enough revelation from God already then to believe that though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In my flesh. We consider then our faith and what it holds to when we take what God says about the resurrection of our bodies. First of all, we want to just consider the concept of resurrection. And then secondly, we want to consider the resurrection of our souls in what we call or has been called the intermediate state. And then thirdly, the resurrection of our bodies, that all by itself. But first, the resurrection. Resurrection, even the children understand to be when somebody is dead and they're made alive. They come back to life. That was true of all of those that Jesus raised from the dead. The widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus most profoundly. He was dead. He was stinking. Lazarus, come forth. He arose and became alive. Now, the lives of all of those that were raised from the dead was returned to the present life. When we say we believe in the resurrection of the body, we're not talking about a return to this life. The resurrections that Jesus performed and they were returned to this life are pictures, earthly pictures of a greater heavenly reality, and that is that in this body we shall experience a resurrection that will enable us to live forever in this body. A formal definition of the resurrection of the body would go like this. It's a wonder, a miracle of grace performed by God, whereby he calls, he speaks, and it's done. That's how he created. So he calls just as Jesus called Lazarus, come forth. Calls our mortal, dieable bodies out of the dust of this life. That God does this through the power of Christ's resurrection. He does it through the power of Christ. And it's Christ's resurrection that is the power that enables there to be the resurrection of our bodies. To make, as Paul wrote in Philippians 3:21, to make our vile bodies like unto his most glorious body. Once again, the resurrection of the body is a wonder of grace whereby God calls our mortal bodies out of the dust of this life through the power of Christ's resurrection to make them like unto his most glorious body. To say I believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, includes I believe in his resurrection. I believe in Jesus starts that he was a man, a baby in Bethlehem, fled to Egypt, raised in Nazareth, performed a ministry. He was a man. It also means I believe he was divine, God's only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. That he was God's begotten Son would mean he's God, because God begets God. And that was the power of his life of obedience, and that was the power of his death. Yes, he died. I believe in Jesus means we believe he died. But it was the Son of God who died. And the nature of the death of the Son of God, now thinking of the way the canons describes that death in the second head of doctrine, is that it has such tremendous power that it was the endurance of our hells, the wages of our sin and sinfulness. But I believe in Jesus is not only man, God died, but raised. He arose from the dead. He arose victor. He arose in the same body with which he died. He didn't have a different body. That body was not there. So when the angels rolled the stone away so that Mary and the disciples could see in that tomb, they didn't see his body. His body, that body with which he died, was raised. Now it was changed from earthly to heavenly, but it was that body. The very body that died arose. I believe in Jesus implies I believe in the resurrection of his body. When he came upon the scene of the grieving Mary and Martha met him, then Jesus said to her, Martha said first, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus answered her and said, thy brother shall rise again. Marvelous faith. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And the relationship is, I am the resurrection because I am life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I am the resurrection and the life. I am resurrection because I am life. And I am victor over sin, death, the wages of sin, and the grave. And in his death, he removed all of the reason for why we should be in eternal death, hell. And the picture of eternal death, the grave. In his death, he removed all the reason for why we should be in eternal death. And its picture, the grave. So there's no reason why we should remain in the grave or go to hell. Because he took the penalty away. And in his living and perfect obedience, even unto death, even in dying, he merited, he earned the right for all of those in him to enter into the presence of his Father. He merited our right to eternal life. Whosoever believeth in the only begotten Son of God shall live forever, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There is that same idea over and over. So therefore, we believe in the resurrection of the body. But before we get to that point, let us realize that the ability that even the children among us have to believe that there is a resurrection of the body, Job did, Martha did, that the children and we do, is evidence that we are already partakers of the resurrection. You already have eternal life. You have resurrection one, of which there's three, and they're always all together. One, two, and three. You cannot separate resurrection one from resurrection two from resurrection three. They go one, two, three, all together. You can't have one without the other. The ability to believe means we've had the resurrection of our hearts. Regeneration. We're born again from above. And that part of us that's resurrected already is proof. Two and three are coming. We have that everlasting life. Shall have everlasting life. Yes, but we're already alive. Listen to John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on him hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth right now on him. The ability to believe in the resurrection of the body, future, is evidence that you already have the resurrection. Resurrection one in a regenerated heart, out of which there is that faith. Whosoever believeth, that's the faith, in God's only begotten Son, has everlasting life. But we die. Now we deal with Resurrection 2. In Resurrection 2, that must follow 1, is that at the moment of death, of physical death, there is a resurrection of the soul. Resurrection 1, the heart. Resurrection 2 takes place at the moment of the death of a believer. And that's when the soul experiences resurrected life. When I was in 8th and 9th grade at Hope School, in one of the old school programs, we sang Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 begins, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Very appropriate for us in school. And it tells us to remember because the evil days come nigh. And then in very beautiful, picturesque language, the sun or the light or the moon or the stars will be darkened. The vision goes when we get old. The keepers of the door shall tremble. The strong men shall bow themselves. The grinders shall cease because they are few. Those that look out the windows are darkened. And the doors are shut to the street. When the sound of the grinding is low, we go to bed quickly and early, but we rise at the voice of a bird, and all the music of all the daughters, all the voice of all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Nobody speaks loud enough. And they shall be afraid of that which is high. And then this figure: or the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern. Then, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. Catch that. The body becomes dust. The body is dust. Of dust is dust, will be dust. It returns to dust. But the spirit, the soul, returns unto God who gave it. Death is the physical death is the separation of the body and the soul from each other. But the soul experiences immediate today glory. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did Jesus answer the repentant malefactor on the cross? Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not some future when your body is raised, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Our soul dies, but it immediately is raised unto a consciousness of glory. Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of those beheaded that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now, that's not looking at the heart regeneration as one first resurrection, but as the resurrection of the soul. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection, on which the second death, not just physical, that's one, second death is hell, hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. The difficulty that we have is that this mind, just like these eyes and ears, are attuned only to earthly things. They are earthly. They can only get the earthly. So someone said, the heavenly is so completely different that from what we know on earth, that there's no earthly language that can describe it. So you get in Revelation 22, streets of gold, gates of pearls, but that's earthly language trying to convey to an earthly mind a picture of that which is forever and heavenly, heavenly. And that's impossible for the earthly. But here's faith. Faith holds for truth what God says. He says, everlasting life. Everybody that I know lives for a while. They're like the flower of the field. They're here and then they're gone. Walk through cemeteries. Names, places, even old relatives. We don't even know them. Don't know their personality. Don't know what they were like. They're in the grave. Everybody dies. Faith says, hold on. They'll go by sight. God says there's a resurrection. And there's a resurrection that's immediate. At the moment that the body separates, the soul separates from the body, they experience today glory. A conscious state of glory. Take a look at what we just read in 2 Corinthians 5. I don't know if you caught it. I knew I was going to reference it, so I had it. And I thought maybe I should hesitate when I read it, when we read it together, but I didn't. Listen to this, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5, 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body in order to be in heaven? No. Do you remember what it says? Absent from the body in order to be present with the Lord. When I leave the body, I am with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. There's another one. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. I am in a strait, Paul was writing. I'm in a tight spot between two things. I have a desire to depart or to stay here for you. But this is what he says about departing. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. If I leave here, I'm with Christ. Again, the words of Jesus to the repentant malefactor. Today, you're going to be with me. With me. Now, don't just think paradise. It's to be with Christ. All of you have sung over and over 202. Psalter number 202. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand. Thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel. Through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory to abide. Guided by thy counsel, and afterwards received to glory. Guided in this life, and then brought to glory. And then no sin, no depravity, no old man. Glory. As wonderful as what that intermediate state, that state of the souls of believers that leave in this earth before Christ returns, as wonderful as it is, it's not the final glory. There is a resurrection, but it's not what will be yet to come after Jesus returns and makes his second appearance. Prior to the resurrection of our bodies, we're without our bodies. So we only have our souls there. What that can be like is unimaginable for us because we only know our souls existing through our bodies. But we crave in glory. We will have our souls. The souls in glory know they're incomplete without their bodies. They know they're incomplete because they don't have the rest of the body of Jesus Christ. They're waiting for everybody else's body to be and souls to be brought to glory. They are incomplete. But also it's incomplete because in Revelation 6, we read again of the souls that are under the altar that are crying out for Christ to return. And they word it this way. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge the blood, our blood on them that dwell on the earth? When we commit ourselves unto him who judges righteously, just like Jesus did, then we know that there's a judgment to come. And that gives us the patience to wait and not take vengeance on ourselves because he will judge. But then secondly, even in glory, the souls are anticipating with an anxiousness that judgment of God on Christ's enemies and ours. So it's not what it will be when we're in the intermediate state. Now, holding to these truths about the resurrection of the soul and the resurrection of the body, that means that we reject certain teachings that are around. We reject annihilation. We reject reincarnation. We reject the concept of soul sleep. And we reject the idea of purgatory. Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists formally hold to annihilation. When you die, that's it. There is no more, nothing after. Reincarnation, different worship of images and idols, believe that we die and then we will be reincarnated into another form of life, animal life or human life. Soul sleep holds to the position that one is totally unconscious after death until Christ returns. And while the Bible does use very clearly the word sleep to describe the death of a child of God, it does it over against despairing that they are not anymore. In fact, Jesus said that of Jairus' daughter. Jesus knew that she was dead, but he said to the mourners, she sleepeth. In 1 Corinthians 4, we have the same kind of reference. And in John 5, there's a reference to where we sleep. And that's a word that's used in order to express they're at rest. They're no longer battling. They're no longer laboring. It's also a word that's used to express they're going to awaken again. They're going to arise from the dead. This isn't the end. You lay yourselves down to sleep and you have every idea and hope that you're going to rise from that bed in the morning. Sleep. The soul does sleep, not unconsciously, because of all those passages that speak of the glory that's theirs. And we deny purgatory. Purgatory is Rome's concept that after we die, we still have to work and spend some time being punished before we can be brought into immediate glory. Only their saints go into glory. Everybody else goes into purgatory for a period of time. But that completely denies that Jesus saved us to the uttermost, that his satisfaction of his suffering death was incomplete. It was perfect. It was complete. And again, the Bible teaches that we will today experience glory. So, resurrection one, our regenerated hearts. Resurrection two, the resurrection of our souls at the moment of death, physical death. Resurrection three, the body is going to be planted, been planted. Many of you have gone to a cemetery. And nowadays, they lower the casket into the vault, into the ground. Sometimes I've seen parents bury their little babies, and then they even take a shovel and they back up the little vehicle and they dump the dirt on and they lay the sod on top. They bury it. But we bury the body of a child of God like we bury a seed in the spring. We believe that that seed will rot and will grow and come forth better than what it was when we planted it. We see the body die. We know it returns to dust. But the emphasis, as we pointed out, of Jesus' resurrection is that his body, the very same body that was wrapped by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, was gone. The wrappings were still there, but his body was gone. The same body will rise. Our bodies are created material now. And they're going to be a created material in glory, but they're going to be a heavenly created material. What kind of heavenly material is like, we can't know. We don't know. But we know it will be a material that God gives to us. We will remain human. We won't be angelic. We won't be divine. We will have eternal life, everlasting life, but we will still be humans. And we will still be personally unique, each one of us in our own bodies. So the scriptures are very clear that the soul, that the body that is raised when Jesus makes his second appearance will be reunited with its own unique soul. Each one finding each other in the air. When Jesus comes from glory with the souls of the believers, their bodies will meet them in the air and be reunited. The form of that resurrected body is so hard for us to describe. We have 1 Corinthians 15. That's a pretty good help. But what it exactly will be, we don't know. What we read in 2 Corinthians 5 is that right now we've got a tent, a body that's like a tent. And it's going to be a building. It's going to be a house. It's going to be firm. Jesus says it's going to be changed like unto his. Our vile bodies will be changed like unto his most glorious body, Philippians 3:21. 1 Corinthians says it's going to be sown corruptible, pollutable, rottable. But it's going to be raised in a new and different form so that it will not be able to be perish or to be destroyed. No sickness, no pain, no dying, no form of corruption, incorruptible. The resurrected body will not be characterized with dishonor. If you have to watch or to see an old person lie in bed, just the feet, the toes, the nature of the nails, the withered, sometimes arthritically disformed hands, or you see a body right after they die. It's not pretty. Dishonor. No dishonor. Can it be raised in glory with the beauty, with all of the effects of sin gone? Glorious. Not weak, but with unlimited strength and vitality, never deteriorating, never growing weary, never being tired or exhausted. A body that's capable of bearing the image of God perfectly and being able to have direct contact with the heavenly. And a heavenly body, a real heavenly body, human, created out of the material of the heavenly, but with all of those blessed, wonderful attributes, incorruptible, glorious, and beautiful, strengthened, and capable of that image of God. That's resurrection 3. That's when we will experience salvation in all of its fullness. So we walk now by faith. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear. And these verses ring in our hearts. Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And we don't have to put ourselves in the Lord. We're already in Him. Blessed are the saints which die in the Lord. Or Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Faith receives the knowledge that our death is without that sting of judgment and wrath. Faith receives that when we stand at a gravesite of a child of God, it does not have the victory. It's not where they're going to stay forever. They're going to arise in a new body, beautiful, a body that will live with Him forever. Resurrection 1 is going to go to 2 and 3. So we are already more than conquerors. Amen. Bless thy word, gracious Father. May it be clear that what we heard throughout the sermon arose out of thy word, not the instruments, not the man's mind, but thy word and thy mind. We thank thee for those comforts, especially those of us that have recently seen the death of a believing loved one or anticipate it happening soon. We thank thee for these encouragements and these hopes, this comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.